This is Snake, and you're listening to the 8-Bit Geek Podcast. So pay some damn attention.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. It is 8-Bit Horror Fest, and the whole crew's here. Even Pete's back!
Hey!
Peter Kleins, famous writer, famous producer, famous entrepreneur.
Right?
Yep.
You forgot surgical pioneer.
Oh, yeah. Surgical pioneer. I mean, you list it. He's done it. So he's been the inspiration behind the movie that we're about to talk about today. Halloween H2O.
No, whoa. H2O. Nope.
I do believe you watched the wrong movie.
Yeah, Jerry, I think you watched the wrong one, bud.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
So we're not talking about LL Cool J? I got a whole book.
This is Michael Myers in space, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, guys. I'm going to be pretty quiet on this one. No, we're jokes aside. This is the last edition of 2019's 8-Bit Horror Fest, and we're ending it with Halloween from 2018. Which is technically a sequel and not a reboot, but we make the rules and we don't care.
Yeah, I'm going to count it as a reboot of the franchise in that it ignores everything else except for the first movie. So it ignores every other Halloween movie since. Mm-hmm. And it is rebooting the franchise in that there will be a sequel out next year or the year after.
Yeah, 2020.
Next year.
Yeah. Do you think that they should go through and just burn all the DVDs, ask people to bring anything that was not these two movies forward and just destroy them and wipe it from the internet, you know, like it never happened.
Like a disco sucks party or something like that?
Yeah, man, yeah. In the 1990s when rappers, were bad and the government threw parties where they threw all the records and started smashing them, you know?
Rappers were at their peak at that time. Yeah, the moral majority, smashing mm-hmm. records, the parental advisory folks. Oh, yeah.
Or do you guys enjoy what we've gotten through Halloween so far, even though this rewrites history?
I'll say that I think out of all of the franchises, Jason, Freddy, Michael, Chucky, all those, this is probably my least favorite of all of them. The Halloween series has been one of my least favorites.
Okay.
I think the Halloween movies are enjoyable sort of like in the moment, but afterwards I barely ever remember anything about any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them.
I think so.
I can't even really tell you that. I
have seen all of them and I can't tell you which order they go in.
Exactly, yeah. Right? There's not like anything standing out about it. At least with Jason, you know, you can definitively go like, okay, the first one, it wasn't Jason. Mm-hmm. The second one was Jason, but with a bag.
The potato sack over his head.
I think the third one, it's a bag again.
Halfway through, and then he gets the hockey mask.
Is that the third one or the fourth one?
That's the third one.
Yeah.
Because that's the third one in 3D. And so
he plays the
comedian mm-hmm. jokester kind of kid and takes his hockey mask from him.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Sorry for you folks that hasn't seen.
Oh my God.
Jason gets a hockey mask? What?
Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, at least with that, there's like, again, a definitive order as to what happens when. You know, you could say the same about Chucky and Freddy and those movies too. You know, there's a, you know those.
Mm-hmm.
You know when Dream Warriors is, right? You know when Jason goes to hell.
That's probably a good way to look at it is honestly, as the years have gone by, we've seen all the other characters develop and expand and evolve one way or another. I mean, even all the way up to super cyber uber Jason X in space. Mm-hmm. But Michael Myers never changes. It's always the exact same character doing the exact same thing.
How did they, I don't remember most of these movies at all. Mm-hmm. How did they explain him constantly coming back? Did he just constantly get arrested? Or did he ever die? Yeah. Because like Jason dies, but then he gets like resurrected by like a, you know, magic or some shit, right?
Lightning bolt.
Yeah. Lightning Bolt.
They've never explained it, right? They've never explained it. He just is superhuman.
He's pure evil.
Wasn't it in 5 or 6 that they try to tie it into like some whole druidic cult or something Michael Myers?
I think so, yeah, because it was the curse of Michael Myers. That was part 5.
5? 5 or 6.
5 or 6. It was one of Loomis's last movies. Or the Donald Pleasance before he passed. It was like one of his last movies. Yeah, that was a weird one.
I think that was also the one, if I remember correctly. Was it that or was it something else? No, never mind. Forget it. Yeah. I'm thinking
That too proves a point. Like, I mean, it's just the franchise being pretty stale, but I will say, this reboot, remake, whatever, continuation fucking ruled.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was awesome.
You could say that again.
Yeah. And, to get it, you know, start getting into it and stuff, you know, when they get to the credit sequence at the beginning, Danny McBride is one of the writers for this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, that was a pretty big name when it came out, and people were kind of like, you know, when the news dropped that they were doing this film, when Danny McBride's name was brought up, it was just like, oh wait, what, are you for real? Like, really? Yeah.
I don't know what he was involved with in the writing process, but I mean, it was a great movie. So I don't know, he also was involved with the Alien one too. Is he involved with Blumhouse?
Yeah, I thought he, because like him and Jason Blum, or is it Blumhouse or Blumhouse?
I don't know,
but yeah, I thought they worked together. So
and that may be it, because were they involved with the Alien Covenant?
No, that was.
I don't think Blumhouse was.
No, you're thinking of what's his name? You're thinking of
Danny McBride was
Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, but I'm saying is Danny McBride was in that movie and has a writing credit on that movie as well.
Oh, okay, that I did not know.
Not sure, but he's been constantly looked at and trusted with these big franchises, and he did fantastic with this one. So John Carpenter actually has writing credits on this movie as well, and also Deborah Hill. So I don't know how much or any. Maybe they all got locked in the same room and was like, "All right, here's what we should do." But this is overall. What did you guys think, Doug? I know your thoughts on it. You thought it was really dope. I thought it was amazing. It's probably my favorite film out of what we watched this year. Just overall, like everything, it was a damn near perfect little horror film. It's great stuff. What'd you think, Peter?
I pretty much agree. I think it does a great job as far as the wiping the slate clean and revisiting it.
Mm-hmm.
It really is one of those things, like if they'd never ever made any of these movies and just today somebody randomly decided, oh, you know what? Remember that movie back in the 70s? Mm-hmm. Let's do a direct sequel to it. And I think it also did a nice job of updating the level of horror, just coming up with really nice, believable things for like, oh, why can't we get her on her cell phone? Oh, you know, so often a lot of these things when you see, at least I seem to see a lot, maybe it's just me, it feels like people are either discarding the original and they're doing something so crazy wild updated it doesn't matter, or they're kind of just bringing it forward and ignoring all the problems just bringing the story forward involves. And I think this did a really great job of sort of bridging that this is fairly believable of, you know, Michael Myers is in custody and has been for 40 years, you know. I had a ton of fun with it. Pretty much just like you said, everything about it, I thought they nailed.
Cool.
Except one thing. But
we'll get there in a second.
I loved it. I mean, I saw this in theaters opening weekend, and I fucking, like, from start to finish, it feels like a Halloween movie, but like more tradition, like even the credits, like everything about this, like it just felt like a true sequel to Halloween, or just a true moving on. And it was cool. I liked it a lot. Like I liked how they, and like I said, I'm really glad they still have Jamie Lee Curtis there, and to kind of give her this alternate timeline, you know, of so she just, it just drove her batshit crazy, or not just crazy, but she turned her into full survivalist. And I like her, how her character transitioned, especially seeing like those shittier movies like H2O and like,
hey, watch your mouth.
Movie. Yeah. And, you know, seeing how she was in that. And then, like, you know, apparently at the beginning of the next movie, by the way, with Busta Rhymes,
which
kill,
is
like, they kill the Jamie Lee Curtis in like the first 20 minutes or something like that. It was something stupid. And then, by the way, just my complaint about that old series, Busta Rhymes, like, so like Michael Myers gets shot, shotgunned, grenaded, all this bullshit, survives. But then he dies when Busta Rhymes does some shitty kickboxing moves on him.
That's because he busted him.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
So nobody can survive the power of kickboxing.
Yeah.
Especially from Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn but straight.
Seeing how bad those movies have been, even the Rob Zombie ones, like I think like Pete said, like where they're just going a completely different direction. Just really kind of white trashed up the series, which it was good in its own right, but I wouldn't think of as traditional Halloween. Seeing this was as traditional as it was going to get, especially when you get the John Carpenter seal of approval. He even composed some of the soundtrack. He redid, kind of like he updated the Halloween theme song. Like, it was amazing to see that. I mean, that's my short review of this. Yeah, like I loved going back to this movie and just seeing it modernized.
I think, yeah. I think what's really neat about it is, sorry, Doug, I'll let you go.
It's okay.
After
it's
okay. Me.
No, I know. I'm aware. I know who wears the pants here at Dave Big Geek.
Well, now I lost my train of thought.
Okay, so anyways, what I was saying, one of the things I love.
Okay, so what I think that I think what works, and I think what works best, and I think what shows all of these this genre what will work best, and I think other studios will take from it maybe to go back and when they're making the new Jason and when they're making the new Freddy or even a new Chucky movie, is that people still love simplicity in what this represents. Like, you don't need to be extreme. You don't need to go to space. You don't need over the
top. Shut your mouth.
But just the root of why people fell in love with these in the first place is exactly what this did. And I think I think every other series that is going to follow this should follow the this kind of
formula.
Yeah, tradition. Formula map.
Yeah.
I was going to say one of the things I really
enjoy. So one like other thing.
It's the third thing on my list of like my notes and stuff. Was I was kind of commenting at the beginning where we see these podcasters apparently, you know, they go and they visit him in the prison and stuff, and they pull out the mask and everyone starts responding around Michael, but he doesn't like respond to it at all. Mm-hmm. And the dude's like yelling at him, and he was like, he yells like, say something, but then it cuts to
the Halloween theme.
The Halloween, like, you know, like the iconic like graphic, which mm-hmm. is like the same as it was in the original, mm-hmm. and like the music. And I just put like, you know, say something right into the iconic theme and intro. This is fucking great. And like, you know, you're 5 minutes into this movie, I'm just like, fuck yeah. But then I was like, is that rotting pumpkin real or is it CG?
It was real.
No, it was real in the original. Was it real in this one too?
Yeah, actually, I read a thing on it that they actually did it. They filmed it rotting and then ran it backwards.
Yeah, nice. Wow. That's awesome. But then one of the other notes I have somewhere later is just like, I love the how they... So I love the old school way of filming this, that it feels like a classic slasher movie. So we don't need to see the violence. Let it all happen just out of our view. Like, you know, there's so many times when, like, especially when he's wandering the neighborhood on Halloween night, and it's literally like we watch him walk through a house right after somebody walked through that room, and then him walk in behind them, and then they enter the kitchen, and you hear the attack, but we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see like the chair get thrown to the side, and you see stuff happen, and then we go in and follow him, and we mm-hmm. see the dead body, and we watch him walk out, and we watch him walk around a house, and then in, you know, and it's like you just see like these little glimpses of like, I mean, again, I think that makes it more scary in a way, is just the how we're almost seeing it as like, I don't know, the people outside in a way where it's like we don't see it, but it's right there. you know, mm-hmm. and like we just cut back to him walking back through the neighborhood while these kids are out like dancing and
bumping into
him and bumping into him. Yeah. And just having fun and just totally oblivious to the fact that there's a dead body now in that house. Mm-hmm. Like I fucking love that. And even when he goes he gets the mask back from the podcasters who he just luckily runs into. we're watching her in the stall while he's attacking the guy outside. And while we do get to see him like slam him into the wall a couple times, still so much of it is happening outside of our view, and that we're hearing it and we're kind of seeing it. You know, again, just out of view. And her, like, she's being strangled again. All we see is her feet dangling, and then they stop moving. You know, as like, I fucking love that. That's so good. Like, that's just a really, it feels classic. Like, it doesn't need to be this over the top gore fest mm-hmm. to have the same impact of just like, no, you know, he just murdered that person.
Yeah. I agree. I almost prefer that over the gore that we get in a lot of these horror films. It leaves things to the imagination and it makes you think about it.
It was actually, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it, Pete.
I was just trying to find it. There's a great thing. I cannot find who actually said it, but I read it in Stephen King's Dance Macabre, and he talks about the bug in the closet idea, which I don't know if you've heard that one or
no. No, please explain what that
basically
is.
For those of you listening at home, basic premise is that we're in an old house in the middle of the night, and up on the second floor, we hear this like scratching noise, and we go upstairs, and at the end of the long hall is a closet. The door is way down there, and we can hear the... And we walk down the hall, and we're getting closer and closer, and the whole time as we're getting closer and closer and closer to the closet door, we pull the closet door open, and it's a 10-foot cockroach. In the closet.
God, no.
But the thing is, the minute you see that in the back of your head, you're going, well, phew, at least it wasn't a 15-foot cockroach. There's no way I would have been able to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this does. By not showing us stuff, it becomes the worst thing we can imagine.
Yeah. Even him like crashing the bus. Again, that just happens. We just stumble upon it with some characters in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're immediately like, how the fuck did he do this? And they kind of explain it later from like a witness, but like at the same time, you're still like, you were chained, bud. How the fuck did you do this?
And it's just more terrifying.
Exactly.
Also worth mentioning, the rare movie where a kid gets killed.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
I have that in my notes.
Yeah, I had that in my notes as well. I was like, oh, this is interesting because this never happens. I think the only time I've seen it happen was like fucking John Rambo in 2005 or whatever.
Well, in that movie, everybody dies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pretty much everyone but Rambo dies.
So. Yeah, I say like, oh my God, the first person we see killed in this movie is a kid.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this.
We were going through that whole scene exactly the same way. Like, well, we know they're not going to kill the kid. So it's just, how is he going to get away? Or, you know, what are they going to do? And then, holy crap.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
So props for that, because obviously that must have rattled some producers' feathers or something like that, you know, or like some, you know, people like corporate folk.
Even when that, even that baby, when he walked, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Cause I was like, we've already seen him kill one kid. Like, fuck. But nope. Just walks right by. Like,
yeah. I was like, I think that's why that scene works so well, because we know that he will do it. He has the ability to do it. And then when he, you know, then you have that sigh of relief. But man, they did a great job of building that tension, though.
Well, was it, I think just before that, when the scene they use in all of the trailers, it's like two kids run into him. Mm-hmm. He's just walking the streets on Halloween night, and two kids slam into him full speed. And he just kind of looks down and they're like, whoops, run off. And
I also have in my notes, one of the things I really enjoyed was not long after he broke free. Or we learn that he's been freed, essentially, is that there's a whole sequence with, again, these podcasters, which I have in my notes also, like, journalist doing a podcast. Jesus Christ, this is so 2018.
Right? And I was like, how did they get all this money?
Yeah.
That was my first thought. Like, well, they're, of course they're podcasters. They've got $3,000 to throw around.
Well, I think when you look at like the what's that popular one that kind of
it's Serial.
Yeah, like Serial. That mm-hmm. that obviously that they're based on.
Yeah. And I mean, they even mentioned that like we've done a bunch of stuff for radio and stuff, which again, Serial, you know, comes from Sarah Koenig from This American NPR. Life and NPR. So exactly.
So. It is definitely it's I mean, it's, you know, it's I was like, OK, well, I get it. There is one funny thing, though, I will bring up about those podcasters is during the opening scene when they go and visit Michael, I have two issues with it. One, she's standing behind him with the microphone, with the Tascam microphone. We know how those work. You're not grabbing audio from behind this man with the wind going.
I was gonna say, you're just going to get all wind.
And he's like talking away from the microphone. I was like, yeah. Okay.
What's... Hey, Michael, does this match? This mask, man. Yeah, hey, yeah. There's the mask here, bud. Hey, say something, Michael. Hey.
That's like, that's what they'd hear. And then also, they'd also hear,
yeah, all you know, of the
like
screaming.
All the other fucking noise. Yeah, it's like you didn't mic this guy.
I and the yeah, other thing,
we're gonna put a lapel on you there. Excuse me, Mr. Myers.
This is just very nitpicky. Very nitpicky. I know why they did it because of the fact that they're not going to show Michael's face, and they did it for dramatic effect. But why wouldn't he walk around the other side of him to face him and be like, "Hey, dude, look at this mask. Check it out." Like, I don't know. I just sat there watching that, and I was like, why is he just standing behind him? Like, why? Yeah. Very nitpicky. So, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So what I was saying is, like, so they go to the graveyard of his sister. Mm-hmm. Was it Judith?
Judith
Myers?
Yeah, Judith Myers.
And we see him lurking in the background. And then there's another part where they're at the gas station, and they're getting gas, and if you look closely... you'll see him just walk right by. Like, he just walks in the background and passes by them. Again,
because he's killing the mechanics.
Yep. Well, and then when he's inside,
the bathroom.
When she goes inside to ask where the bathroom is, yeah, there's a shot of him just in the back, like you see in the background, him, yep, clearly killing somebody. It's all this stuff that's just like, again, it kind of goes back to the whole, like, kind of seeing things, but not, is just like, if you're paying attention, you'll see it in the background, but blink and you'll miss it. It's just, again, him walking by. Like, I went back and like backed it up and watched it again just to like make sure I wasn't like seeing things. Like, was that guy just working on a car? No. That dude was clearly beating somebody in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked those, again, just, it's not like supernatural-esque, you know, where it's just like, oh, and here he is. He just popped up. It's like, no, you can clearly see him walk right in there and start murdering people if you look for it.
I mean, he did super... Go ahead, Pete.
No, I think it also goes to the fact the one thing Michael Myers has always had over everyone else is that he's just a regular guy. You know, if Jason Voorhees can't walk by casually in the background and nobody will notice him, you know, even if he's not wearing his mask, but Michael Myers without his mask is just a guy.
Yeah.
And because of that, it is like a mild degree of terror that, yes, we, the audience, see this guy walking by in the background of the gas station and we know, oh crap, this is bad news. But we understand why no one else is reacting to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in that same shot you're talking about, the gas station shot, he walks right past somebody. There's like somebody in another car right there who he walks and they don't react. They don't do anything because it's just some guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those where you just want to be like, hey, stop talking to each other. Just look.
Just look.
You know him. And when they see him, they know exactly that it's him. They know. But like, it's just, hey, he's right. Hey, you. He's right. You know how dangerous you could. All right. Well, fuck.
You deserve it.
Yeah. Now he's murdered. Now he's murdered four people at this gas station.
It's funny. Because
way to go.
I remember, when I rewatched this with friends and that came up, and we're like, so Michael's been out for like, what, 20 minutes now and has already beat his old murder record?
Yeah, he had to make up for lost time, man. He was just standing there for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and that was we talked about this last week, and we had breakfast with Pete. It's one of the things that he brought up is that, you know, this movie, since it ignores all the other movies, he is in prison for killing four or five people at this point.
He's in like a maximum security Hannibal Lecter, don't cross the line, he's chained up prison.
Yeah,
for killing four people.
Yeah, and it's a little weird because I mean,
you know, I thought about that. While we were having breakfast, and since then, and I thought about, well, maybe it's because of the fact that he doesn't talk, and so he's not like answering anybody. He's not like, he, you know, when he's up for parole or like they're trying to, he just stares off. So they're just like, all right, this fool's just still crazy. Like, let's just keep him in here, you know, like, and obviously things that we haven't seen off camera, maybe he is still like, maybe he's killed some people while in custody or, you know, he's been a danger. But no. Then again, how the hell do they get him outside?
I thought about that, but I mean, remember when they're lining him up for the bus and he's just in handcuffs with everybody else. They're like, just put him there against the wall with like 20 other guys and you can even tell by the guard's body language. It is very much, this is the thing we've done 100 times. This is,
yeah.
I think they explained that off with the doctor, though. They said the doctor allowed it because the doctor was on the bus with him. By the way, we kind of skipped over that part. The doctor, which he gets shot at the very beginning of the movie by the kid because the kid freaks out and takes a pot shot at him, gets him.
Yeah.
The movie turns out, it's funny how that turns out because it's like we could have lost like one of the main villains like at the beginning of the movie had there not been some like weird activity. But so that happens, I remember somebody was checking the manifest and they're like, why is Michael Myers of all people on this bus and not a more secured bus? And I think that was, like I said, I think it was the doctor's doing. They kind of explained that, which is nice about this movie.
That whole setup with the, we're going to jump ahead just a little bit. Spoiler alert, but the doctor kind of turns bad and like.
Kind of
turns bad, kills somebody. But his whole plan was kind of like to set Michael free. And it totally gave me American Horror Story vibes for this current season.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
You know, where you learn like, oh, the person let him out intentionally to send him back to the camp to go kill all these campers. Like to observe what was going to happen. And I was like, oh, so American Horror Story just straight up ripped this storyline out.
They ripped off a lot of story. I mean,
There's a lot of stuff that you can go, okay, that's similar to Jason or that's similar to, you know, Michael Myers or whatever. But that was just a straight rip off. Like, yeah. I mean, the same thing. That dude, he almost got killed by the 10-year-old kid.
The one thing I could think, and once again, they explain this at the very beginning, it was a very minute detail, and you have to be a fan of the series to really catch it, but Dr. Loomis...
But there is no series.
But Dr. Loomis was, you know, since there was no weird other timeline where Dr. Loomis is like hunting him, he still worked with him in the prison until he passed away or retired or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Loomis was the one telling these parole people, probably like, he hasn't talked. He does not deserve to go out. He was always the one trying to keep it. And then the custody got turned over to this other doctor. Or he worked with him. I think he was a colleague.
Yeah, it's like a protege.
Yeah. So I could see, I mean, like I said, it's a little minute detail, but they do kind of explain between the last 40 years on why he hasn't been released or why he hasn't said anything or anything like that. So it's like, it's not for lack of trying that, like they tried to get something out of him.
So he kills more people in this movie than he did in his entire career that landed him in prison to begin with. I mean, it's five people, I think, if you include his sister when he was six or whatever.
And so, well, sister and sister boyfriend, too. It was the boyfriend, wasn't he? Yeah, they killed the boyfriend and the sister.
Does he?
In the original Halloween? Yeah. That's what he went to jail for at like six, or he went to therapy.
I don't remember killing the boyfriend. They did not touch on that in this movie. But we even saw like original footage from him murdering the sister.
Yeah.
From the original movie, which I thought was nice because the way they played it in like a flashback, it allowed that film to look grainy, you know, and grainy, you know, like old footage. It was just a nice touch. I liked it. So he kills the podcasters. He gets the mask back from them, which they somehow got out of evidence.
No, he said it in the beginning that it was his,
It was his. He got it from the Attorney General because he's a podcaster.
Yeah, they just hand over key evidence like that. Whether it doesn't matter how long the crime's been going.
Listen,
on.
It's his
just,
friend.
You can still just take stuff.
Friend.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, but then we're finally not long after that we're introduced to Lori, to survivalist Lori, and I don't know that. It's not long after these people die and stuff too that the cops discover the bus that's been crashed and then they turn up at the gas station and stuff and again we see Lori and I wrote in my notes, in what universe is a serial killer break free and no one immediately goes to the victims' families and put police detail on them immediately, especially when they live in the vicinity in which this person is has escaped. Like it's like not until they run into her later that they're like, oh shit, we need to protect you. Nah, motherfucker, you know who his victims were. You go protect them immediately. And one comp car is not a good enough detail until you've caught this motherfucker. Like, no. But I have to say, I really like this version of Lori. This broken survivalist, like, you know, they mentioned that she's had two failed marriages and she's estranged from her family. Mm-hmm. And I thought I love that. And there's a part with like the daughter and people just being like, get over it. And in my notes I wrote, fuck this whole get over it bullshit. You grieve, Lori. You grieve how you need to. Like, fuck that. Fuck that. If I had anyone ever tell me, hey, you know what? Hey, the shooting at Wedgwood Baptist Church was 20 years ago. You need to get over it. I too would stomp their head in like Jason did to the doctor later on in the movie. Slight spoiler, sorry.
Michael Myers.
Mike Myers, sorry, not Jason.
Well, Michael Myers, not Mike Myers. That'd be funny.
You know, no.
Movie baby.
Shrek. I would stomp their head in like Shrek did.
You should have stayed out of Michael Myers masks.
Yeah,
that would have been great. Modernized. That's all they could find is he's running around a Shrek mask.
even if it had just been like for a second, like on Halloween, like, oh, this is the only costume available. Oh, I'm gonna wear the Shrek mask. Oh, nope. Now I've got my mask back.
Did you guys see Baby Driver?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that whole joke that they at one point when they're robbing, they're gonna rob one of the banks, and everybody shows up wearing Halloween masks, and one guy shows up in an Austin Powers mask. And they're like, what are you doing? You said Michael Myers. You said-
yeah. It's so good.
Anyways, yeah, so we get to see him kill some more people. In my notes, I named the babysitter friend that she's going to go, that Lori's granddaughter is going to go hang out with. I called her the poor man's Brie Larson because that's who she looked like.
I can see that. Yeah.
And she got a pretty bad, again, it was a kind of off camera kill. We definitely see him stab down, but we don't necessarily see him stab her. But then her boyfriend gets it, I think, the worst in the movie. Well, one of the worst in the movie.
And he's like pinned off camera.
Off camera. It's the cops finding it, if I remember correctly, or Lori. Maybe the cop. I think it's the cop. The cop goes into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she goes into the house too. I don't remember, but Lori's on the hunt. She's there. She's going to fucking kill this guy.
It was the cops Lori was outside the house. The cop was inside the house. Cause the kid called
the
police.
Shot up at the window at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So he's in the house, but he finds the kid like pinned to the wall, like up off the ground, pinned with, was it a knife? I don't even know what was holding him up.
Yeah. But
it was the kitchen. It was cause it was a copy of the original killing from the first movie.
Yeah, so he's got that kid just dangling there. It was pretty fucking rough.
Mm-hmm.
But again, another instance where, you know, there's that the kid that he was looking over. There's like an 8-year-old kid that this girl's babysitting, and he was just standing outside of his room, and the kid sees him and freaks out, and like he doesn't touch the kid. So it's so weird how like, what's the age limit? Do you have an age limit? Over the age of 12, you're toast.
I wonder if it's a like Predator, where if it's a threat, because the kid that got killed had a gun.
That's fair.
It's like, and he was like basically defending himself for the most part, while the other kid was completely defenseless. He was only armed with his sweet quips, which he was my every scene.
Well,
he was
what
in,
about poor little grandma? Awesome. What about grandma that gets killed in the kitchen?
Yeah, well, shouldn't have been in your kitchen. I don't know. By the way, that
she had access to a knife.
Yeah. And I loved that one scene because that's, you know, we talked about that. We glossed over it, but I love that it was kind of shot in a one shot kind of fashion where the cameraman follows Michael. And that was like 78's Halloween.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was that one shot where it's like we see him enter the kitchen. Yeah, just the like we're gonna follow him through this house. Well, we're gonna watch someone go through the house.
I love that action.
We're gonna see that person go back through the house, and we're gonna watch as Michael follows behind her, and then she enters the room, and then shortly thereafter he enters the room, and then we see the like you see off camera the chaos happen. I love that scene. Yeah, and that was the one where I was like, I fucking love this. This is I love how they were able to capture that. Like it feels. Like the original, and that's what I liked about it. It was like, again, as far as like a reboot sort of thing, where it's like, yeah, it's been 40 years, but we're still, it still feels like a true reboot, like a or even like a true sequel, a continuation.
Like a continuing.
Yeah. So Laurie meets the cop. I said Laurie, Frank, and Loomis Jr. because I couldn't remember the doctor's name. talking about Mike being loose and her being like, I prayed for him to get loose so I could kill him. And the cop being like, that was the dumbest thing to pray for.
Yeah.
And then we see the daughter at a dance, Halloween dance with her shitty boyfriend. I think I wrote teens being teens. They fucking suck. And then she's like she's headed to her friend's house and they're like taking a shortcut and she leaves her friend. He like kisses her because he thinks
he tried
like,
to make a move on her. Yeah.
She's like, Junior. Yeah. And, he did look like Foggy. He also looked like Justin McElroy from My Brother, My Brother and Me. So in my notes, he is Justin McElroy. And I say, Justin McElroy's about to die. And then I went, oh, shit. Like, because he gets, like, he's trying to climb the fence. He gets stuck and he gets stabbed. But when she finds him, he has been speared through the fence. Like, it's his, like, wrought iron, like, you know, fence, these giant, like, speared-like fence posts that you see. And it's through his fucking, like, jaw.
Well, doesn't like he gets stabbed and slips and just like slides down onto it.
Was that what happened?
Yeah,
I must have missed the slide. But just the that was the worst death, in my opinion, for like an innocent person. Like,
yeah, especially when he just tried to. He was like, "Oh hey, what's up, man?"
Yeah, that was like, so funny. Like, oh man, yeah, I know I'm in your yard.
Yeah, like I know I'm. Let's all go. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry. There's just this girl, and you know.
Yeah, you know how it is. All right. I'm leaving.
Wait, why are you coming?
I know how it is, sexually active teen.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, you're not Jason. Get out of here. That's not your thing.
Actually, that's totally his thing. Really,
is Michael. It? Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah, from literally Kill Number One, that was Michael Myers' thing.
But they actually,
I wonder if that's his criteria. Like, if you're old enough to be sexually active, you're a target. But
or have a gun, because I'm sorry.
Well, his around his with a gun was around his sister's age, because it's because he had that kind of obsession that he was going after girls that were like 17 or 18.
Yeah, but the kid with the gun was still like, well, a like
I
said, that,
I think it's a self-defense thing.
Yeah, I think it was a gun thing. So I also put, because at this point, you know, the cops are with Laurie and her family. They've got them like sequestered to Laurie's house, I believe, at this point. And they're trying to get a hold of the daughter, but the daughter can't talk because her boyfriend ruined her phone, which goes back to what Pete, you were saying earlier, where it's like, it follows like a realistic thing. He's being a dickhead and he just like threw her phone into
pudding.
Pudding?
Yeah. It was like a weird, like
one of those typical pudding. Halloween pudding bowls.
Yeah. You know, every high school has them at a dance. And so they can't get a hold of her, which I like that. But what I like to see about this is watching Lori's family eat crow. Because again, they've just like, get over it. Michael Myers is coming back. God, mom, can't you just get over it? And then it's like, ha, bitches. Like, this is what I trained you for your whole fucking life. I wasn't some idle threat. This motherfucker was going to come back someday. And here it is happening now. So suck it. I love that.
Yeah. It's always one of those things where the crazy person's crazy until they're not crazy anymore. And we in real life that happened with Tom DeLonge, right? Like we all were, as soon as everything started coming out, it was like, oh, this fool is insane. Like he is.
Yeah. Oh, aliens. Yeah, sure. Oh yeah. This footage you're releasing. Yeah. Oh, it's really from the Navy or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then here we are 6 months later, and they're like, yeah, no, that's totally real. We don't know how he released that. They shouldn't have done that.
And they were like,
what?
Oh, okay. So maybe it's not that crazy, but it goes back to like just people, like the crazy people. So I like that as well, that they're kind of proven wrong, and they're like, oh, maybe we should have listened.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have been prepared.
Every horror movie.
I also like the husband of, so her son, Lori's son-in-law, whatever his fucking name is, I don't remember.
Like Carl, I don't know.
Yeah, Carl or Ray or...
Oh, it's Ray. It was Ray. It was Ray
Nelson. Was it Ray? Yeah. It was played by Toby Huss.
Mm-hmm. Toby Huss is awesome.
Which, if for those listening, if I could take you back in time real quick to the early 90s on Nickelodeon, a small show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
He was Artie, the weird fucking neighbor. Every time he shows up at something, I'm like, Artie! Like, it's so good to see you with regular work now. Because you're not a person I thought would have ever gotten a job outside of the 90s. And he's been on this. He was on Glow.
Glow, yeah. He's in Sacred Lies. Brooklyn Nine-Nine even showed up a couple episodes.
Yep, I love him. I love him. So it was. I was excited to see him in this movie. But yeah. So at that point, then you know, Michael shows up in the house, and then it was so cool seeing Laurie have like her house with all these like booby traps and like safety precautions and all this shit. I fucking loved it. It was so interesting to see her, because in the first one she's like the victim, she's running, she's screaming, she's trying to get away, and this one. She was hunting the hunter, and it was awesome.
Well, what's crap? She had that great line at the end. I was trying to remember that, like, you know, this house isn't crap. It's like it's not a hidey hole. It's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that switch, by the way, of the daughter.
I have that in my note.
Daughter. Yeah.
Oh, come help me, mom. I can't do this. I can't. So they get like cornered in the basement and they're yelling up, and she has a gun and she's like, I can't do it, mom. Come help me. Come help me. And Michael steps in her way and she just goes, like, close up shot. Gotcha. And then like just wings him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorite, this was my favorite part of the whole fucking movie, was the gotcha. Shooting him in the face, the quick zoom on Lori standing in the shadows behind him going...
Basically her getting the Michael Myers shot.
Yeah, going, yeah. Happy Halloween, Michael. And then bam, over the back of the head. Mm-hmm. Oh, fucking loved it. Oh, it was so sick.
Yeah.
I did notice, I don't know why my mind took note of this, but how many times that the hidden stairs got moved, like the island... Yeah. Got moved and then back and then like they opened it and then they closed it and then they opened it again and closed. I was like, why don't we just leave this thing open? It just seems more efficient this way.
Yeah. I do love when Michael Myers went upstairs to like go after the granddaughter, and she somehow got downstairs and into the thing, and he comes down. You just have this look. I mean, you can't see his look, but the expression was like, what the fuck? Where'd they go? like his clueless expression.
I had that, but then I also had like I think he's coming down the stairs. I think he heard it moving. So I also think it was like, where the fuck are they? What did I miss?
Yeah. Like,
what am I hearing? I can hear that fucking stairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can hear that fucking thing. I can hear something moving. Yeah. And then he shows up. But and so then, you know, it ends with them trapping him in the basement, and then they kind of burn him a lot. I guess there's a sequel. So
there's
obviously
a sequel.
He didn't die.
So obviously not.
Yeah. And they show the bottom burning, and there's no one in there. So,
of course, unless the daughter becomes Jason. I mean, Jason,
that,
Michael.
That's what I was actually wondering, is that honestly the, you know, stare too long into the abyss thing, is that if she. Yes, we know Michael Myers is going to be in this, like in the same way Yoda was in later Star Wars movies. But
he's going to come back as a Force ghost.
Exactly. Michael Myers, Sith ghost. But
I'm sorry. The Sith are called Sith spirits, not Sith ghosts.
Just do the
fake nerd boy.
Yeah.
Shut up, Peter. but no, I was really left with the implication that it's going to be the granddaughter. That
yeah.
I'm wondering if I know this is probably a horrible analogy to make, but. Crap, is it Jason 5? Yeah, Friday the 13th part 5, where Jason comes back to life, but then we just later realize it's somebody is snapped and
it was a copycat.
Yeah,
Yeah. It was someone who worked at the hospital, I thought, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like one of the guys who
went to
one of the ambulance drivers.
Yeah. But by the same token, you've got to think, I mean, literally, Lori has been obsessing over this guy for 40 years, and she's been instilling that obsession into her family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and her daughter seems to have shrugged it off, but I mean, that last shot of her granddaughter holding the knife, I don't know, it seemed very telling to me.
Especially the way they set that up, if you think about it, like, you go back and watch these scenes. Like, the granddaughter kind of at first gets treated like Lori because, like, you know, she's in class, and then she looks across the street, and instead of Michael Myers being there, it was Lori, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you're right. They kind of tailor it. So I could see that. And also, I hate to mention the shitty sequels, but I think it was the end of part four. The daughter, or like the granddaughter that was in that, ended up killing somebody. And she was sitting there at the end of the movie, the granddaughter, with a knife in her hand and wearing a clown costume like Michael Myers. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's plausible. Like, but I don't think they would probably perfect it compared to the one that came out whenever in the late 80s or early 90s. But
so
yeah, I could definitely see that
about the next one. Yeah.
So let's kind of go around and we'll start with Pete, because you're the guest. Give us your rating and final thoughts on the film.
What are you doing? Up to five?
Yeah,
up to 10.
Up to five.
Up to five.
And I'm gonna give it 4.5 kitchen knives.
Nice.
Because it is, like you said, it's so far above everything else. There are still a couple little bits in it that I think they start pushing my suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like at one point, okay, let's go over this. In the course of this movie, Michael's shot 3 or 4 times. He's literally... they slam an SUV into him at speed and throw him 30, 40 feet. You know, he gets hit in the back of the head with a frying pan and he's still fighting. And let's not forget, he's a 65-year-old man at this point, 64-year-old man.
Yeah.
You know, it just like it, I think it was right around the car crash because, again, I know it sounds like I'm being really negative, that I was so taken with the idea of like, holy crap, this movie's going to be about the doctor? This is amazing. This is, oh, no, wait, Michael survived. Okay, it's surviving.
God, and boy, did he fuck that dude up, too.
Typical horror movie where they just basically, they're like, oh, he just needs to rest for 5 minutes. He'll be fine. Hit by a car? Give him 5 minutes. Walk it off.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
He'll unpuncture that lung. Give him a second.
Just revive his body.
But yeah, it's still... far and away the best Halloween movie they've made since 1978. Easy.
Yeah.
So
I read the same. I'm going to give it 4.5 podcasters out of 5. I really enjoyed it. No film this year has earned a 5, but, this one's very close. Very enjoyable. I really loved it. It's all around a great film, and I can't wait for the next one. So
Nice.
Gav?
Me? I loved this movie. It was a great refresher, and you're right. It made Halloween fun, and it made it a great movie. It made the franchise, like, it just brought it back to its former glory. There was no bullshit, a lot of simplicity, but it worked so well. Easily one of the best movies we've watched this year for Horror Fest. I was up there with Dawn of the Dead, but this is like, it's neck and neck. I still got to give it a full 5. I give it 5 post-credit Michael breathing scenes out of 5.
Nice.
By the way, if you haven't seen that, yeah, the post-credit, you hear him breathing. Yep. So you know he survived in some kind of way. Or... maybe it's the granddaughter in a mask. I don't know. But it's someone's breathing at the end of that damn post credits.
Doug? Right.
First off, Jer, fuck you. You totally stole my in my notes when I wrote this afternoon, I ended with 5 out of 5 dead podcasters.
Aww.
So
Those are both your minds are at, assholes.
Yeah. I'm gonna go 5 out of 5 rotting pumpkins in reverse.
Nice.
Out of, yeah. I told you guys this earlier today when I was watching it. I was like, this movie fucking rules. This is the best one we've watched this year, hands down. It was a lot of fun. It was new and the same. You know what I mean? Like, it was new, but it was the same, but in a good way. Like, it wasn't like, you know, oh great, okay, yeah, it's just this again. But it was like, oh shit, this again. I love this. Like, this is, it was done right. And I'm pumped for the sequel in 2020 called Halloween Kills. I'm pumped. I also, just looking at the IMDb, I like that he's just listed as the Shape, as she calls him. He's not listed or credited as Michael Myers or whatever. It's just the Shape.
Hmm.
And I will say, for Halloween Kills, there's someone listed as Scarecrow, which makes me very curious as to what the fuck.
Oh my
that's
God,
about.
They're merging with DC's universe.
Yeah. Stephanie McIntyre is the actress. Her name is just Scarecrow. So, I don't, you know what? They might be, because this also has Anthony Michael.
Telling you, man.
He's playing
a Dexter crossover.
No, he's actually playing. I remember seeing this. He's
That's
actually
Michael C. Hall.
Oh, sorry, one of the dad initial Halls.
Hall's playing one of the survivors from the first movie.
Oh,
he's playing Tommy Doyle.
Yeah,
whoever that is from the original. I don't remember.
It's one of the kids. One of the kids.
He's the kid she was babysitting.
Yeah. That was Tommy. Like, she always get on his case. Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually that's a cool casting. Yeah.
So, that's awesome. I loved it. Again, yeah, this was easily the best. And I have to say, like, overall, I don't feel like we necessarily watched a whole lot of shitty movies this year. In a handful,
no, they were
just
really
kind
good.
Of. Yeah, I mean, Elm Street wasn't good.
No.
Child's Play was. I liked it. You guys didn't care for it. But everything, Friday the 13th was good. Dawn of the Dead was good. This is good. It's been a good year. And this is, of course, our last episode, because today's Halloween. So
Happy Halloween!
We did it. Another year of Horror Fest completed.
Yay! So that's it for us. Thank you, Peter Kleins, for joining us today and having fun with us talking Michael Myers.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hopefully you'll come back next year as well.
Always.
So
yes,
I always come back.
Just like one of these killers. So, before Jared closes the show out, don't forget to go to the Threadless store, 8bitgeek.threadless.com, and pick up an 8-Bit Horror Fest shirt. All of our shirts from all the previous years are available, because the theme this year was reboots and remakes. So why not go get one of our original shirts from the last few years?
That's right. You know, and before they are shut off.
Yeah.
And, forever.
There is a new design this year as well, but we've also got the like I said, the old ones. So go pick them up in the, if I can make a suggestion, the super soft ones.
The tri-blend.
So swear, good. Like, so worth it.
Our Horror Fest designs are like our Black Diamond Vault, like for Disney. They're like, we're reopening the vault.
Yeah,
here's your chance.
And they're some of the coolest designs. So
they are. They're really, dude. So. Yes, agreed.
Okay, until next year. Until next Horror Fest. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm just here for the.